did mention, of course, that window, which is a beautiful window and worth looking at, but also it's always fascinating for me to look at the war memorial over there, which also remembers the men from this parish who served and died in the First World War. And what's really interesting, particularly when we got school children coming in, is we get them to look at that war memorial that lists all the names of the people from Denton Home and the immediate vicinity, and to see if they can recognise any familiar surnames, because a lot of people have lived here in this area for a long time, and this is their grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and great-great-uncles, and so forth. So it's interesting just to look at that and to see how we are connected with that previous generation. When we think about the problem of war and violence and pain and suffering and injustice in the world, it's easy for us to sometimes think that the problem is out there and it's too big an issue, too big a problem for us to deal with, that it feels like it's beyond our control. And what can I do to actually make a difference with all the problems in the world, all the conflicts in the world? But the Apostle James, in his letter, actually says it's got a lot to do with us. He says it's to do with the attitudes we have towards one another. This is what he says in his letter. He said, "Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourself." So the heart of the problem, according to God, is the problem of the human heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. And the antidote to the problems in the world is to follow Jesus' command to love one another as he loved us, which was what those two readings were all about from John's Gospel that David read so beautifully just a few minutes ago. So the path to peace is by loving one another as Jesus loved us. And just think for a moment, what would that look like if each one of us was seriously committed to loving one another in the same way that Jesus loved us? Think about the difference that would make within our homes. Think about the difference that would make in our schools, or in our communities, on our streets, in our places of work, in our churches. If every single one of us was committed to loving God, loving one another as Jesus loves us, what a transformation it would make to our world. And of course, this isn't some sort of soppy, sentimental type of love that we're thinking about. This is a love that's willing to make big sacrifices. Jesus, again, in our reading today, said this: "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And Jesus demonstrated his love for you and me by doing exactly that when he laid down his life for us on the cross. So again, the love that we're thinking about to love one another is not a soppy, sentimental love. It's a love that's willing to go the extra mile. It's a love that's willing to make big sacrifices. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the parable of the 18th camel. Has anyone ever heard of the parable of the 18th camel? If you're thinking it's not one of the ones I know in the Bible, don't worry, it's not in the Bible. But it's very similar to a sort of parable that Jesus would tell. And the parable of the 18th camel comes out of the deserts of the Middle East. And it goes like this: once upon a time, there was a rich man who owned 17 camels. He led a peaceful and prosperous life. And when he was very old and nearing the end of his life, he wrote his will and it laid down what he wanted to happen once he died. And he wanted to leave his wealth to his son, his grandson, and his nephew. And the terms of the will was this: one half of his riches should go to his only son, one third should go to his grandchild, and one ninth of his wealth should go to his nephew. So his son, his grandson, and his nephew, when they heard this, thought, well, that sounds quite fair. We're okay with that. Anyway, eventually, the rich man died, and it came to dividing up his wealth. And suddenly, they realize that there's a problem with the will. Because you see, there were 17 camels. So if half the camels were to go to the sun, then he should get 8.5 camels. So that would mean killing a camel. Now, that wouldn't be very good, would it? If a third of the camels were to go to the grandson, that would also mean killing a camel. So he could get 5 2/3 of a camel. And when it came to the nephew, again, there was no way he would get his share unless they killed a camel. And they started to talk about what they were going to do, and they couldn't see a way around this. And as the more they talked, the more angry they got. And they started to have fights over the inheritance. Now, I hope you've not had that experience in your families, but I do know it happens. Families can fall out over inheritances. So they were quarreling and they were arguing and they were threatening to go to war. Now, nearby lived a very poor man. And we know he was poor because he only owned one camel. Have we got the picture of that? We should have it anyway. And although he was very poor and didn't seem to have much influence, he could see what was happening and he wanted to do something about it. He wanted to help because he could see that this argument was going to get out of control and they were going to start arguing and fighting and hurting one another. And he thought and he thought about what he could do, and then he came up with a solution. And even though he was very poor, and even though he only owned one camel, he thought, I know what I can do. I will give my one camel to the son, the grandson, and the nephew. So there will be 18 camels, not 17. Again, have we got the pictures on the screen? There we go. So there we have the solution. And they sat down, and they started to work it out. And suddenly, they realized that the gift of that extra camel made all the difference in the world. Because half of 18 is 9. So the oldest son, or the only son, would get 9 camels. 1/3 of 18 camels would go to the grandson. That means that he would have 6 camels. And 1/9 of 18 camels would go to the nephew, which meant that he would have 2 camels. And each of them was happy because they each got their share of the inheritance, and they didn't have to kill any camels at all. But is anyone good at maths? Because if they divided the camels that way, there is one left over. Thank you. It's glad that the treasurer noticed that. That's always a positive sign. They had one camel left over. So they were able to give the one camel that the poor man had given back to the poor man, and the problem was resolved. This story actually has a lot to teach us about the sacrifices that we need to make in order to bring about peace. Because fighting for peace, fighting for justice in the world, isn't something that's easy. It takes hard work, it takes commitment, it takes sacrifice. Now, the Bible does promise that one day wars will cease. We can look forward to a different future where all creation will be at peace, where the Bible says God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain because the old order of things has passed away. But of course, we're not there yet. We only have to turn on our TVs and listen to the news to realize how far we are from that vision of a world at peace. But we know it will come one day when we see God's rule here on earth as in heaven. But until that day, we are called to play our part to work for peace in the world. And we can start to do that by loving one another as Jesus loved us. To allow God's love to rule in our hearts. And by ruling in our hearts, to make a difference in our families, on our streets, in our schools, in our church, in our places of work, wherever we may find ourselves. Because that's our calling as God's people, to love one another as Christ loves us, to be peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So my challenge for you today and this coming week is to remember that you are called to be a peacemaker. You are called to love those around you as Christ loves you. And I want you to think about, well, what might that look like for me practically in the coming week? And it's about what we do with our words. It's about our actions. It's about how we use our time. It's about everything. So that's my challenge for you today. Let's all work hard seeking to love one another as Christ loved us. Amen.